Hi there, and welcome to Canine Conversations with Jo, the podcast for you and your dog. Each of my episodes will be filled with hints and tips for training your dog in a fun, friendly, and easy way. So don't forget to subscribe, and if you have any questions, then please do get in touch via my website, which is www.paws-itivity.co.uk. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode. Today it's the audio recording of my live webinar on loose lead walking. If you want to watch the webinar, head on over to my YouTube channel, The Paws Group, and you'll be able to watch that under the playlist for Live with Jo. By all means, carry on listening because the information is still here for you to enjoy and take on board. So welcome to my loose lead walking seminar. What this is going to cover for you is the foundational exercises for sorting out this problem of loose lead walking. So what we're going to do is, first of all, I'm going to give you a little bit of information about training, purely because I think just a tiny little bit of knowledge. Don't worry, I'm not going to nerd you all out on all the science or anything like that. But just a little bit of information is going to be helpful, especially for those of you with older dogs. When it comes to older dogs and puppies, with your puppies, you've got a relatively blank slate. Whereas if you've got an older dog that's maybe been pulling you on the lead for a year, 2 years or 5 years, they've got a longer learning history of what they've been doing. So it will just take a little bit longer to resolve. So that's just why I'm going to give you a little bit of information just to help maybe put things together for you a little bit more. So what is loose lead walking? It's your dog just walking nicely with you, a nice loose lead, and just in a sort of J shape, if you can see in that picture. That's what we're aiming for with your loose lead walking. Ultimately, with your lead, you want a nice bit of slack in that lead, no tension, and your clip will be dangling down from a collar or the harness, however you walk your dog. And that way you're going to know that your dog is walking nicely on the lead. That's your ideal to aim for, is a nice slack lead. So what is not loose lead walking? Well, it's quite simple, really. But first of all, your dog does not need to be on a side. I often hear, oh, did my dog need to be on the left and the right? Nothing like that. That is purely for sort of obedience training and competition. It does not matter which side your dog is on. Personally, I'd recommend walking your dog on both sides, because I'm a bit worse for wear and I'm always hurting myself. So more often than not, I might need my dog to walk on one side because I've got a crutch on one side or an arm injury on another. So I like to train my dogs to walk nicely on both sides of me. And they don't need to be staring at you like a little show pony as they trot along. Nobody wants to do that. You don't want them to have a crick in their neck or anything like that. So they don't need to be staring at you like a little show pony. And loose lead walking, the lead is not about restraining your dog from getting to A to B. Your lead is just there in case of emergency. It's rather like a parachute. You want it there. It's just your safety line. It's there for emergencies. It's not to restrain your dog or pull them this way or that way. It's just there as a safety measure. Okay, so there shouldn't be any of this additional second hand holding on the lead. As you can see in this picture here, I've been scouring the internet. So leads should not be tight. You shouldn't need to use a second hand to hold your lead. And your dog should obviously not be pulling, whether they're on a harness or whether they're on a collar. It shouldn't have this sort of tension on their lead. So why do dogs pull on the lead? Well, it's only for generally a few reasons, but one, they want to get to or away from something, someone or somewhere. So they either want to get to something, maybe it's their best friend, maybe it's a really grotty bit of old pizza that sat on the side of the road. It could be that they've just heard a loud bang, anything like that, some really loud traffic. So that's why our dogs pull. It's to get to or away from something. There's also opposition reflex. So this is the same as if somebody was to push you, you wouldn't just let yourself fall over. Generally, you're going to push back to make sure that you're not going to fall over.
The same as if somebody tries to drag you somewhere, you're not necessarily going to want to go with them because you are heading in the opposite direction. So as soon as your dog feels some tension on that lead, this is why we want to reward for the loose lead, is that tension on the lead immediately kicks in what we call this opposition reflex. So they feel that bit of pressure, that bit of tension, and they automatically just want to pull against it. And finally, we follow. We are good, obedient human servants to the dogs. We follow them wherever they want to go, and they learn that they get what they want, and we follow. It's sometimes just as simple as that, that they've got to go somewhere that they want to go. That was rewarding, and we followed. We are good humans. We appease our dogs. We are very good to them. So how can we begin to resolve this rather troublesome problem? Because let's face it, it can hurt. It can be quite frustrating. And you can start to really sometimes really not enjoy your walks. And that's the worst thing, because obviously most of us have got dogs because we want to go outside walking with them and enjoy having them. But if they're dragging us down the road, it becomes less enjoyable. So first of all, what we need to do is realise that it does take time and commitment to resolve a training problem, especially if you've got an older dog that has been practising this behaviour for some time. So the older your dog, or the longer they've been practising this behaviour, or any behaviour, whether it's loose lead walking, jumping up, the longer a behaviour has been practised, the longer it's going to take to fix. So to help us begin to fix these, we need to teach our dogs, whether they're puppies or older, to have real value in some foundational training so that they understand. Otherwise, it will just take longer. Consistency is key. So not only do you need to commit and say, right, that's it, we are fixing this problem. Because if you do that, if you commit and say, yes, that's it, Joe, I'm in, we're going to fix this. That's it. You've got your commitment, but consistency needs to be there, because if not, it is going to take longer. It might not happen at all. So whether if it's just you that walks your dog, brilliant. You're going to do absolutely amazingly straight away because you can commit. But if there are more than one person just walking your dog, so whether it's the hubby, whether it's the children, whether you've got a dog walker, if there's anybody else involved in walking your dog, they must stick to your new criteria and way of training your dog. Otherwise, and I won't get into the science of it and bore you all, otherwise, ultimately, all you're going to do is, if you are inconsistent, you will actually make the behaviour stronger. It's as simple as that. So if you are inconsistent with your training, the behaviour is just going to become unbelievably hard to remove. So what do we need to do? Well, nothing worth having comes easy. Nothing at all. So we need to just realise that this commitment is going to take some time, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it in the long run. So we want to get started, really, don't we? Let's get started. There's my jibber jabber. So what I want you to do now, we're going to get through my three top tips. These are my foundational exercises for really starting to get your dog to work with you so that we can start building on your loose lead walking. So if you've got a puppy, dog, anybody there that's got a dog that wants to join in, you don't have to have your camera on or anything like that if you don't want to. We'll start going through some of these exercises. So I will give you a couple of minutes to get back and settled with your dog. And then what I will do is I'll stop my screen share and we'll go back to Zoom, and we will go through some exercises that way. So hopefully that all makes sense to you all. If that does, just drop me a little quick note in the chat box that you're understanding and you would like to come and join in with your dog. Is anybody still there? I'm all on my own. Why can't I see any chats? Is anybody there? It says there's 40 of you in here. There we go. Fabulous. We've got some messages. There we are. Maybe it's just my internet. Fabulous. Right. So go and get your... No, that's all right. You've got all the information. You don't have to. It's just nice to see that somebody's going to be coming and joining in. So I'll give you just another minute or so to go and grab some cookies and some nice rewards. And then I will start having a little look for anybody that's got their video on that wants to join in. Because, of course, I won't be able to, hopefully. No, you don't need a lead or harness, Grace. Very good point. Yeah, no lead, no harness, nothing like that. Right. And then yeah, it's puppy sleeping time. You're lucky that it most of them are sleeping, actually. It's normally witching hour for the puppies, isn't it? They're normally going absolutely crazy about this time of night. So so yeah, right, okie dokie. So hopefully you can all still see my PowerPoint. So just the very first one we're going to go through is orientation towards you. So what is orientation? Well, it's very simple. What it is, we just want our dogs looking at us. They don't have to be staring us in the eye or anything like that, giving us the stink eye, but we want them paying attention to us. We need them to be paying attention to us so that we can start doing things together. Otherwise, if they've got their nose stuck in a bush, stuck in a bin, we could be waving anything at them and chances are they're not going to come out of there until they're good and ready. So what we're going to do with this orientation towards us, I'm going to stop my screen share now and hopefully I'm going to see some videos. Hello, and we're back. Right, okie dokie. So I've got a nice few videos here. So the first one we're going to do is orientation towards us. So this is a nice, simple and easy one. So I would like you to have a little handful of treats if your pupper is jumping up at you, poor Ali. Stand up nice and tall and put that treat behind your back. That's it, and ignore her for jumping up. We don't want any of that. So what we're going to do is I want you to have a handful of treats. You know, nothing. We don't want him to have 6,000 or anything like that. Just a nice amount of treats. And all you're going to do is you're just going to drop a treat on the floor, go boop, and then another one, boop. And then once that treat's been eaten, we're going to drop another one, boop. And we're just going to drop sort of 5 or 10 little treats going boop, boop. And then after you've done that, what's going to happen is your dog's going to suddenly wonder, well, hang on a minute. What? Where's the magic rain? Where's the brilliant rain that was happening? And at that point, when your dog looks up to you, sort of saying, hey, excuse me, I'm here. You're going to say, good, clever puppy. And then give them another couple of treats just from your hand, just to say, that's what I want. That's much more valuable. Clever puppy. Okay, so what we're doing is we're then encouraging them that actually it's way more fun if you just look at us. So it's a really non-invasive way of saying, hey, look, rather than stare at me. Okay, so you're going to drop it on the floor for me, Alice. That's it. Drop. That's it. Good. Drop it on the floor. Drop it on the floor. It doesn't matter if I can't see you. And then again, once you stop dropping, they're going to just hold out and wait. And they're going to go, excuse me. Hello, I'm down here. Good. Very clever puppy. Have some cookies. Hopefully that makes sense. That's the very basics of this first one. So I call it my drop and stop. So not stop, drop and roll. This is just my drop and stop. This is to get their attention when they suddenly realize that their little magic treats that have been raining down have disappeared. So does that make sense? Which noise? Oh, not the boop, boop. No, you don't need to do that. Is that the one you No, it's just I haven't got any treats, and if I drop them on my desk, that'll just be a nightmare. So no, you don't need to do that. Just I can't even do it without looking at the face movement. So just drop your treat. Once that's eaten, drop another treat, and then drop another treat. That's it. We've got two little goldies there that are very, 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 yeah, two little goldies. Right, I'm going to move along on my screen now. Is anybody else doing that? Right, I've got Grace. I can see Grace is doing it, and I can see Dave Gibbons. I've got the old puppy there. So let's have a little look. So we're doing drops and drops. Lovely. Very good. And then stop those treats. Oh, and we've got a lovely little down there from Grace. Let's go on to the next ones. Have we got anybody? Oh, Hannah, crikey, we're actually out for a beautiful walk. Look at that. Hannah's showing us how it's done. Right. Almost looks like I can't tell whether you're walking or running. Looks very, very athletic. And anybody else in there? Now, I haven't can't see any other videos. If there's anybody else that thinks they should be on camera and they're not because they want me to have a look at what they're doing, then pop a little note into the chat box and I'll come and find you. Otherwise, so far, so this is what I call this is our orientation towards you. Because if they're just not interested in looking at you and paying attention to you, you've got no hope. You've got no hope. So, of course, we're lucky, apart from one of you, most of you are all indoors in the living room or the kitchen. So this is a really nice environment to start teaching a new behavior because it's controlled. Not a lot is going to happen apart from the delivery man or something along those lines. You know that a cat's not going to run past. You know that there's not going to be these things that are going to entice your dog. And one of the best things that we can start to do when it comes to loose lead walking is teach these behaviors at home off lead. Because, like I've said before, that lead that's just there to stop as an emergency brake. We want our dogs to be doing this. If there wasn't a lead there, if we had like a narrow path we had to get down, obviously a safe one, not alongside a road or anything like that. But we'd want our dogs to maybe be close to us. So there's lots of reasons for actually teaching loose lead walking off lead. So I do all of my loose lead walking off lead to start with. So that's why we didn't need leads and collars or anything like that, because we want to be able to walk before we run. So we're teaching our dogs to engage with us and orientate towards us. So, I would have thought you could see the everybody else doing them, Sam. You can change your view at the top right into gallery. And then I think you can scroll along with the little arrows. Oh, it's the other dog, is it, Hannah? oh, yeah, you've got it. Brilliant. And everybody's in, you'll all change orders as well. And it'll jump around a little bit and things like that. But as there's so many of you in here, just drop me a message if need be, and I will get back to you. Right, so I'm going to move on from the orientation because I don't want to take up all your evenings. You'll get bored. So I'm going to go and share my screen again now. And hopefully it's this one. There we go. Right. Hopefully you can all see that. I'm hoping so. And my technology skills have not let me down. If they have, I will go back in and check on the chat screen just in case. So we've done our orientation towards you. That is absolutely vital because if they're not paying attention to you, it's not going to happen. So next, hand touch. This is again another really simple one. But what this is it's your dog's muzzle or their nose coming and touching your hand. We want their nose to make contact with the palm of your hand. And the reason I want you to teach this is because it's building value in being near you. The reward's coming from near you, therefore building more value around you. And if there are any distractions around other dogs, absolutely anything, if there are other dogs, anything, any distraction around, a hand touch can help focus your dog back to you. So you can then go from your hand touch to your orientation again, hand touch, orientation. That's to keep your dogs a visual focus on you. Okay, I like to call it magic hands. So what we're going to do, I'm going to stop sharing this screen again. And I'm going to explain how we're going to do this. So just let me put my camera back on, because that will help. And where's my, hopefully I will come back on at some point. Hopefully you can see me. There we are. So you're going to get a little treat. Here's my bit of blue tack. Very high tech. And you're going to put that cookie between your ring and middle finger. Mainly because it's nice and easy to keep those fingers closed together. You try and do it with your baby finger, it's a bit harder. So it's nice and easy. If you struggle, then any fingers are fine. Just as long as you can keep that reward squeezed in there, because your dog is not going to get this one. They're not going to have it. Then what you're going to do is you're just going to offer your hand to, I'm going to get Dilly down. Dilly's going to show us how to do this. So this is Dilly. And you're going to present your hand to Dilly, and Dilly's going to smell that lovely, lovely yummy. And he's going, oh, that smells good, Mum. And you're going to go, yes, good, very nice. And you're going to give them a cookie from the other hand, not the one that's got the treat, because that one always stays there. So let me just. So as you present your hand, good puppy. And you can feed them from the other. Okay, present the hand. They'll come and sniff. Oh, nom, nom, nom. Good. Feed from the other. Okay, that's what we're, knock over my coffee. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to look for. So, no, you can use whichever hand you want, Shiloh. The same as my loosely walking, I practice both hands just in case, because I am so accident prone. If my dogs can only do a one hand, I want them to have value in both. But that's just me being a bit weird, but I'm accident prone. So, who have we got having a go? So we've got Poppy's having a moment there, being all spaniel by the looks of it. What have we got? Oh, very good, Kat. Very good. Very nice. That's it. Well done. Good, Holly. If you hold the hand flat, rather than up like that, come down face. Yeah, so that they can come into it rather than sort of come and headbutt it. I can't quite see that on camera, but that looked better. Yeah. All right. Amelia, what have we got going on down there? You're well tooled up there, Amelia. So yeah, let's have a nice sort of flat hand, nice and down. Just kind of like that. So we're not doing this. We don't want them to come up like this. We want them to just come in nicely like that. Good, right, I'm going to, nice with Poppy, good. I'm going to move across, see who else we've got. Right, so Sue Hitchens, that's it. So let's see what we've got. Nice with Sue and Little Spaniel there, very good. Let's see that one more time. Good, excellent, you're on it there. Right, any other puppies? Right, so on to Grace, let's see what we've got. Oh, clever little cockapoo. I'm assuming that's a cockapoo, Grace. Give me a thumbs up if it's cockapoo. Yeah. Yeah, very nice. Let's see that one more time. You've got your hubby well trained anyway. Very nice, clever. And then on today, I'm sure that's not Dave, but let's see what our collie's doing. There's a Dave. That's got to be a Dave. That looks like a Dave. So have a nice, Dave's little one. I can't see if I'm on screen because I've moved across. You want your hand so that it's nice and flat, so not above your puppy's head, just so that they can come into it. I've got it the wrong way around. Like that. Nice and low, as if you're offering them a treat. That's it. That's a bit better. Yeah, that's it. As long as it's not coming over their head. A lot of dogs really don't like it as well, and you'll start to see some dogs just shy away from it. That's really good. Let's see Collie Puppy one more time. Good. So, yeah, I'll eat all that. Nice. Super. So Hannah's still going for a walk. I can't see any videos there. Let's go on. No videos there. And no videos. If there's anybody I've missed, on a video that wants me to see what they're up to, pop it in the chat now. So I'll keep an eye on that. So yeah, the hand touch, I chopped off my head a bit. Again, that's about building value around you, the same as that orientation, because we want to be the biggest and best things for our dogs. So whether we're, how do you keep it as a touch rather than eating your hand? So if they're doing that, just make sure you could always downvalue the treat that you've got in there. So if you've got something really nice, you could always put something a little bit more plain. If they're doing that, you can try and switch hands as well, so they've not got a little behavior, but I would downvalue on the treat just to make sure it's not so nice. If they are eating that, then you can just take your hand away as well, so they are saying, no, it's not going to get you anything if you're doing all that. Is that what she's doing? Is she just mouthing your hand, Liz? You might be practicing. So that's either downvalue your treat. Yeah, downvalue your treat, or if she's coming in for that, move your hand away so that she understands that if I open my mouth, the hand goes away. Dogs learn by consequences. So if the consequence for is the hand goes away, then she's going to learn, well, hang on a minute, but I kind of want that to be closer to me because it smells good. So as she comes in and maybe she doesn't open her mouth, before she's even got to your hand, you could say good. So if she's coming in and she's about here and she's not opened her mouth, at that point, you can start baby steps and say good and give her a cookie from the other hand so that she's understanding that, it's the mouth closed coming up to me that I want. So break it down into even smaller chunks. So hopefully that will help you. And then gradually you can build it up so that she gets closer and then again, take it further away. Fabulous. Okay, so that is hand touch. So again, really, really good, building value around you, and you can get that focus. I call it my magic hand, so that when they see it, they're like, yes, it's like an amazing doorbell, and I touch it and all this stuff appears. So that's what we're aiming for, is that this hand is just magic. When they touch it, it's like just a button to release Jaffa cakes from the sky. And if I had a button like that, well, I wouldn't move. I'd just sit there pressing the Jaffa Cake button. So let's move on. I'm going to go and share my screen again. Let's do that. And this one. Okay, so that is hand touches. Now this is where we start to get to some of the fun bits. Okay, so I want to see as many of you brave souls having a little go at this as possible. So this next one is walking backwards, of course, when safe to do so. Let's not get silly. So what I like to call this is my ministry of funny walks. I'm not showing my age at all there. So my ministry of funny walks, we start off, it is as it sounds really. We want our dogs to be with us, so we're going to be a bit daft. What we're going to do is we're going to start off this exercise with our dog in front of us and walking backwards. And it might seem like, what on earth are you talking about, Joe? Well, for this one, just to make it a little bit easier, I actually got a video of me doing it with Alan. So you'll be able to see how it progresses from the initial walking backwards. So what I'm going to do, the video is only about 3 minutes long. And what I will do is I'm going to play the video and then I'm going to open it up to some questions as well and have a look at how you're getting on with this, just to make sure that this makes sense. So hopefully what I'm going to do is, this is going to start playing in a second. I'm going to head back to the chat screen. So if you can't hear it or anything like that, please let me know if you can't hear it. Okay.
What do I want to do? Good boy. Good boy. Nice. Nice. Good boy. start that again. Another lesson for you on how to go about getting your automatic sit. Let's try that one more time. Come on then, Anna. Where are you? Oh, there we come. Nice. Come on then, pup. Come on then, pup. Good boy. Super. So you might just think here that I am doing a recall. But what I'm encouraging Alan to do is come with me. Come with me. Yes. Nice. Very good. He's going to come with me. Yes, he is. He's so clever. Good. Super. How this will build into loose leg walking is at the moment, I have Alan in front of me. What we're going to start on to the side, and you can start to see how this is going to progress. Okay, Alan, let's go. Ready? Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Yes. Nice. Nice. Clever puppy. Good. I'll ignore the jumping up for a minute. Super. Now let's go back. Side steps. Okay. Let's go. Good. Side steps. Side steps. Good. Super clever puppy. Okay. So it went from facing up. Good. Clever puppy. Super. To a side step. Nice. Nice. Yeah. You can always do a half and half. So there's my facing him, there's my side step, that's a halfway point. Tips they really don't like, you know. Nice. Nice. Yeah, nice. Good puppy. Super. Right, I'm gonna change sides. Side steps. Side steps, side steps, side steps. Lovely. As you practice this, my bad. As you practice this, side step. Ready? Side step, side step. Turn, turn. Lovely. Beautiful. Beautiful. So you mix it up. Okay, we go backwards, backwards, side step. Side step and forward. Nice.
Hopefully, did you hear the sound on that video? Because I think when I came back to the chat, it stopped it playing for some reason. So hopefully you all heard it. Brilliant. Okay, fabulous. Right, so does that make sense for you on how walking backwards leads into walking forwards? Those of you that have got older dogs, you can still practice it this way, because we're now teaching what we want. We're teaching them a new behavior. So we're not, whereas you may have been walking along before saying to your dog heel, heel, close, or anything like that, this is a new behavior where we're teaching them something completely new now, that will come together as loose lead walking. No commands, nothing. I use very few commands with my dogs, unless I need them specifically to do something. I've got, most of them will automatically sit if I stop, should do. So I've got recall cues, and I've got lots of cues for obviously tricks and things like that. But a lot of just basic cues I don't have. So I don't have a loose lead walking cue, I don't have a stay, I don't have a wait. I get easily flummoxed with words and things like that, when especially if I'm in a bit of a kerfuffle. So I use very little cues and try to avoid it, if possible. So don't need to use any verbal cues whatsoever with any of these exercises I've shown you today. The only thing that you don't even need to say yes or good when your dog's done something. You can just give them a treat. So you don't even necessarily need to mark it. It is helpful to mark a behaviour for the dogs, because then they know at that point that's what earned them the reward. So that's where clicker training comes into it. But you don't even need to do clicker training for this. Clicker training is generally there's for things a little bit more specific, like your tricks or your really, really perfect things. But when it comes to just your pet dog behaviours that you just all want to be happy. Oh, Amelia doing very well there. Fantastic. You don't need to necessarily overcook it. We want to keep it as simple as possible for you so that you can get the most success. Okay, so anybody that wants to have a go at walking backwards safely, oh, look, my video's come off. Let's put that on. Hopefully, maybe it might do. Right, so I can see Amelia first. I've been seeing you doing some there. That's it. Oh, no, no, Puppy says, I'm done now. I'm tired. All this training, it's hard work. It's hard work. Tara. Upside down. Oh, Ali, you're upside down as well. Hello, down under. Right, Ali. Oh, different Ali. That's all right. Ali, were you going to have a go with Poppy? Oh, so if she's jumping up, let's put your food behind your back. Are you on the video, Keith? Oh, sorry. Holly, you're on the video. I'll come to Holly in a minute. When you're out on the lead, they're still out on the lead for the time being, Keith, because obviously we don't want to let your puppy out on the road or anything like that. But you still, when they're out on the lead, you're still going to walk backwards safely. Safely. You're not going to do it while you're crossing a road or anything. There's caveats to everything. You've got to be sensible. Lovely. Right. So Holly, so if they're jumping up, I want the food behind your back, not obvious, right in front of their face. That's it. So go for a walk backwards. Can he walk backwards at all safely? Or she, sorry. Not quite mine. So yeah, if she's jumping up, that's it. So food behind your back and say, this way, this way. So how I was encouraging Alan in the video. Yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, when they're not jumping up, and again, what you can do to prevent any unwanted jumping up, you can always drop the reward between your feet so that, it's just taken some of the real excitement away from the hands. If they're getting too handsy and too mouthy and excited with the hands, you can just drop the food on the floor. Right, I'm going to move along the video. Let's see, who have we got? Right, so Sue Hitchens, let's have a little look at you, see how you're getting on. Very nice. Very good. Super. Okay. Very, very nice. Right. So, Grace, how are we getting along? Are we fast asleep now? Have we had enough? It's a lot to take in. I'll have a quick look at Dave. Good. Okay. So, what have we got? We've got a little jumpy up cheeky monkey going on here. Let's have a quick look. That's it. Hand behind your back for me, Dave. That'll just encourage jumping up. Good. As soon as your puppy takes a step towards you, just come and drop a cookie on the floor. That's it. So drop a cookie on the floor for me, Dave. That's it. And then just start coming back this way. Hand behind your back. If you can, yeah, don't fall over. That's it. Good. And then drop a cookie on the floor. He says, no, I know it's behind your back, Dad. Right, lovely. Where have we got? Let's move along. Any other videos? Let's have a look. Super. All right, I think that's everybody. If I've missed anybody that wants to have a go, pop it in the chat. No, I'll give you another couple of seconds just in case there's anybody else that wants to go. Still got the slide up. Oh, did I forget to share? Oh, sorry. Have you got videos? Does that help? Can Hopefully that helps. Hopefully you come back to the camera. I've paused the screen sharing now. See, look, me and technology, we don't go so well. We don't go so well. Right, well, I'm going to move on. I'm going to get this sharing back on. So these foundations, these three exercises are incredibly important because they are all about building value around you. That's what you need, because if your dog finds a leaf or anything else more exciting, we've got a problem, especially if they want to spend time with a leaf and not you. So it's about building that anticipation that what are you going to do next? Where are we going to go next? So that's what I'd like you to think about. And as you progress with your walking backwards, you can start adding in the sidestepping and then the walking forwards. Just do it sensibly, so that one, you're not tripping up your dog, and two, your dog actually understands that it's being by you that's earning the reward, not just pootling along. So when you do go out for a walk, this is going to be the tricky bit, and we'll cover some of this in the Q&A, I'm sure. When you do go for a walk, your dog's going to be on a lead at certain points. You still need to stick to all of these criteria while they're on the lead. So I know it's a bit tricky at the moment because we're all generally sort of walking from home, not necessarily driving to the woods where we can let our dogs off the lead at the same time. But you will get, if your dog can practice this lead pulling behavior, it will continue. And if you're worried that your dog's not going to get enough exercise, then we can set up some mental enrichment for them at home, because mental enrichment at home is just as exhausting as being out for a run. So there's plenty that you can do with your dogs at home. So if you really, really, really want to commit and crack to fixing this, it will take time, but the more you persist at it, the stronger that behavior will become, and it will be one that you want. Okay. So you cannot expect your dog to just suddenly go outside after a little bit of playing in the front garden and in the living front room and in the garden, that they're going to walk beautifully on the lead, because outside of the house, it's not a controlled environment. You've got lots of things that you just can't control. You never know what's going to come around the corner. So you need to build in these levels of difficulty bit by bit, which is why you need to set your dog up for success. And those of you that have trained with me before know how much I harp on about the 3 D's. And I harp on basically about 3's a lot. So I've given you 3 exercises to concentrate on today. And I want you to think about the 3 D's. Okay, this means that you can take your baby steps or your puppy steps in some cases, and you can raise criteria or lower your criteria. So these 3 D's are distance. So for instance, how far can you carry out the distance of these 3 behaviours that we've done today? So could you, for instance, where you're dropping your cookies, could you drop your cookie 2 metres away with this orientation? Could you throw it across the room? And when the cookies stop, does your dog look to you? Do they orientate to you? With a hand touch in the distance, can your dog walk across a room to come and touch your hand? Can they walk across the garden and come and touch your hand? So you can increase this distance. And the same applies for your walking backwards. How far can you walk backwards, obviously safely, with your dog following you? You can increase that distance. So just working on those 3 behaviours, you've already got these 3 things, the distance that you can work on. Then you've got your distraction. So, of course, if you're looking at your orientation exercise, could you have somebody opening and closing the back door or bouncing a ball while they stay orientated to you? The same with the hand touch. Can somebody be bouncing a ball? Any sort of distraction that you know your dog would like, can they still do the orientation, the hand touch, or the following you with your Ministry of Funny Walks while this distraction is going on? And then you've got your duration. Now, you don't want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing your dogs to train for 20 minutes, an hour, et cetera, et cetera. I would recommend, as always, just doing these little exercises in 3 minutes. I like my 3s, so no more than 3 minutes at a time. But to begin with, you might only be able to get your dog to do 1 hand touch in 3 minutes. You might only get them to look at you 5 times during three minutes. But you can gradually work on that duration, on how long maybe they can keep their nose touched onto your hand? Can you start extending that duration? Can you start extending the duration of how long they look at you before they get bored and want to go and look for something else? So it's all about adding in these 3 Ds. And what's the great thing about this is if you are struggling, you lower a D. So whatever you're trying to achieve with any behavior that you're teaching your dog, if you break it down into these 3 Ds, you can make it easier or harder. And if you've got a behavior that's too hard for your dog, you can lower the Ds. You could lower 1 D. You could lower 2. You could, even if they were getting good at something but not quite another, you could lower one and raise another. Okay, it's endless with what you can do and how great you can make a behavior, because you can always change these 3 Ds. So remember, and again, this is my favorite little saying, strive for progress, not perfection. Okay, if you just constantly think, right, this has got to be perfect next week, it's not going to happen. You need to break it down into these little small manageable chunks and aim for that progress. Just a little bit each day. Okay, so if you do 3 minutes a couple of times a day, every time you boil the kettle or a TV advert comes on, something like that, that's going to be little bits of progress towards getting the end behavior. There's no reason why you can't put your dog's collar and lead on for 3 minutes and walk to the end of the drive and then go back home again. There's nothing to stop you doing that. So it's these little bits and bobs that are going to fit in to a bigger picture. So don't worry, we'll have the Q&A coming up at the end of all this. So if you've got any questions, we can go from there. So just to recap everything for you, because I've thrown a heck of a lot of information at you. So first of all, do not run before you can walk. If you do, you're just going to fall over and scrape your knee. It is really important that if you decide, like with anything, you know, you want to give up smoking, you want to lose 2 stone, anything like that, you've got to break it down and do it in little manageable chunks. If you do have too much failure, you need to go back a step. You need to lower those Ds just to make it easier, and your dog's going to have that success and they're going to want to keep doing it. If you put a lot of time into these foundation behaviours and these core behaviours, you will find that the overall, when we get to the loose lead walking aspect, will actually come a lot quicker, because it's about building this value around you and not that dirty tissue on the floor or the fact that the park is 10 meters away. You are only going to reward your dog when you're out and about on walks when the lead is loose. Okay, so that's when there's a nice bit of slack in the lead or the clip's hanging down. If your dog, for the time being, starts to pull, you are going to stop. You are just going to stop. And I don't care whether the wind is blowing a hoolie and the rain is pouring down, you are going to stop, because your dog has only got the circumference or around that lead and where you are of his world, his or her world. They can only investigate that whole area at the end of the lead. At some point, whether it takes 3 minutes or 3 hours, and yes, I'm not joking, that area will become boring. They would have seen it all, smelt it all, and they're going to do the orientation towards you and say, hey, what's next? I'm bored. That is where one of your first exercises for when you're out and about, you are going to stop. Then as your dog reorientates back to you, that's where you can reward for the orientation. You can do your hand touch and you can start maybe walking backwards and say, yeah, we're going to go this way, and then change direction again. What I want you to do most of this is practice at home off lead. Okay, so where it's safe, you can even practice this at the field or somewhere safe where you walk your dog off lead. But obviously, when you're out and about, don't expect it to go successfully. So if you are out and about, you need to make sure that you're safe for doing this. It's really good that when you're teaching a new behavior, you start at home to build an understanding of it, so that your dog say, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember now when you're out in the real world with distractions going on. Now, if you're worried about too much food and rewards and everything going in your dog, just use their daily food allowance. So whatever you would put in their bowl for breakfast, lunch or dinner, use that. If you raw feed, yes, use that. I raw feed. In that video, you saw me rewarding Alan with his raw food. Get down and dirty. If you can't bear to touch the raw food with your fingers, rubber glove or anything like that. So, yeah, you can use your daily food allowance if you're worried about food intake for any breeds that are do have a tendency to put on weight. So when you are out and about, you need to use a suitable reward for the environment. So there's no point in going down the street with a boring biscuit. Okay, use the boring biscuits indoors so that when you go outside, you've got a higher value reward outside. You've got something to contend with the kebab on the floor. You've got something to contend with the dog across the street. You need to use a suitable reward for the environment. If you've just got a boring biscuit outside, your dog's not going to want to talk to you. Okay, so save the boring stuff for indoors or the stuff that they're not, you know, they're just like, oh yeah, okay, it's a biscuit, I'll eat it. And then use the good stuff for outside, okay? And first, you know, finally, and what should really be first, never, ever, ever yank your dog on the lead. Whether they've got a collar or a harness, you can cause injuries to your dog. So if they're pulling you, just stop. Dig in, no matter how big your dog is, grab a lamppost and hold on. Never yank them back. They'll come back to you with these orientation techniques that I've been working through with you. So what's next? Because I'm sure you're all desperate to get on with your evening. And we'll do a Q&A at the end of this as well. So I want you to practice these three exercises indoors. And when you're happy that you've been practicing for a few days at home, try them outside, see what happens. If it doesn't work, you know that the area is either too distracting or you need better rewards. You can look at your D's on how to get some success when you're out and about. So you're going to remember your three D's. We need to set your dogs up for success. If there's failure, it's because the exercise has been made too hard too quickly for them. They just don't understand yet. So if you lower your criteria, you'll have success and you will move forward quicker. So more loose lead walking with me. So in about in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a follow on webinar for this one, which is going to be advice and support for each of your personal situations. So you're not going to be on mute or anything like that. We're going to be able to get into the nitty gritty of your personal situation. So there are only limited amount of sort of working spots for that on the webinar. I'll be giving you more exercises, more practical exercises so that you can get out and about doing your loose lead walking, because there's no point in me saying, right, you're going to loose lead walk like this if your dog has not got these foundational understandings. Otherwise, you'll still just get yanked and therefore you're not going to fix the behavior because of your inconsistency. And we'll also go through all the troubleshooting. So dates for your diaries, 3 p.m. on Sunday, the 7th of November, crikey, Sunday, the 7th of February. And that really would have been given you loads of time to practice on these. That gives you just over 2 weeks to really get cracking on these foundations so that we can move on to the next step. So how can you join in? So I've got a few ways how you can join in. I've got three options for you. First one is the personalized option. So that is this live webinar that we've got with you and your dog. So I'm going to be doing another live webinar. Did I say it was the 7th? So we're going to have that live webinar with your dog. So your dog will be joining in with you during that session, and I will be giving you personalized help during that session. We'll have a Q&A for you as well during that session. Following that, you're going to have two 10-minute follow-up calls with me individually to work on how you've got through following our lessons. And you're going to have follow-up support for 6 weeks. And I'm going to throw in my little free ebook on loose lead walking as well. If you're not too fussed about having all that support, you can just be an attendee in the webinar. So you can still join in with your dog. You can still have Q&As. You can still ask some Q&As during the webinar, but that will be it. There's going to be nothing else after the webinar. That will be it for you. And if you're not too sure and you still want to come and join, but you know your dog's going to be asleep or you can't do it successfully at home, you can just come in and watch the live webinar. But that doesn't allow you any sort of personalized help. You will just get all the information. So you've got those three options that are available. Now, they can be booked now. There are only limited spots for the personalised and attendee plans because I can't be there to help the 42 of you that turned up to the webinar. So you will need to grab that spot if you want it. And it will be absolutely most definitely worth it because, well, I'm worth it, quite frankly, and you will get plenty of help. And just in case you don't know me very well or anything like that, I've stuck on here some of my little Trustpilot reviews that you can have a little look at as well, just to know that you are getting a fantastic trainer. If you've not done any online training before, it does work incredibly well, and I encourage you all to come and do it rather than put something off until the last minute when your shoulder has finally given up the ghost. So if you have any questions, there are plenty of ways to get in touch with me. You can email me directly, you can get in touch via my website. I've also got the Facebook group, which is the Pause Group Horsham. And there is the Pause Group YouTube channel where you can go and subscribe to that to be notified of when I put up new videos. There's plenty of videos on there from mental enrichment, trick training, problem solving. There's all sorts of things on there to keep you entertained. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop sharing now, and we are going to move on to the Q&A, because that's what we want. We want to get through some Q&As for you all. So head back to the Zoom. Fabulous. Right, how is everybody doing? Right, let's have a quick look at all this. Right, let's have a look at some of these. Right, so Tracy, first question from Tracy. What do you suggest for a two-year-old lab that will walk fine when not on the lead, but as soon as she puts on the lead, she pulls really badly? So that says to me, Tracy, that your pup has learned that this is when the lead goes on, this is what I do. So what you can start practicing, what you could try is these three exercises at home. You could pop the lead and collar on her at home and just leave the collar, the lead dangling for a second. Obviously, make sure it's not going to get caught on anything, just to build up a new association that it's kind of lead on, lead off, lead on, lead off. So that when you clip that lead on, maybe she goes into a sit so that she's got a new cue associated with that lead going on. So it's not lead go on, I pull, it's lead go on. Well, if I pull mum across the living room, doesn't matter because she's not holding the lead, or lead go on, I'm going to teach you to sit. So it sounds like she's just learned lead goes on, I pull, because this has been, the lead restricts me from getting to where it is that I was just going to. I was just thinking, hey, I'm on my walk, I've not finished yet, I just want to go and investigate that leaf. Oh, I can't. No, well, I'm still not going to go and investigate that leaf. So building that, building the exercises and value around you again will help. But because she's got that little behavior of lead on, I pull, we just need to change that a little bit. Yes, these will work for a six-year-old dog too, Ali. Yes, absolutely. Even if you're just walking that stretch to where you go for a walk. Yes. Well, and we went through this with Poppy. We went through this with Poppy. Yes. So when it comes to older dogs now, so this is the tricky bit. So if you've got an older dog that has been doing something for so long that they're set in their ways, and this is how they've been going for a walk for years, we need to change how they think, and we cannot let that behavior carry on. And I don't want to bore you with all the science, but ultimately, if something is randomly reinforced, okay, so it's just happening occasionally, okay, so if occasionally every time I walked past a tree and a Jaffa cake fell from it, even if it didn't happen every time, just one in three or one in five, I'm still going to look at that tree and hope that a Jaffa cake may fall, because it has before, and I'm going to have hope. And if your dog gets to practice an unwanted behavior, any unwanted behavior, randomly, you will never get rid of that behavior. If anything, you will actually make it stronger. So you need to be really, really careful. So if you are just doing, okay, so I walk my dog nicely or my husband doesn't, it will take your dog longer to walk nicely with you than if both you and hubby were doing it together. So you've got to be a team on this one. You can't just say, right, we've got to get here because I've got to get the dog exercised. There's plenty of things we can do with your dogs without exercising them. You can always, I know we're not supposed to be driving places and things like that at the moment, but I'm sure you may all have a local park that you can drive to, in which case that you drive to that local park that's 2 minutes away, you walk for 10, 20 meters nicely, and then your dog can come off the lead so that you know you're not going through this great big epic 45 minute walk around the block walk. So you plan, and it just comes down to a little bit of planning and control and management. Right, okay, whose turn is it to do the dog today? All right, I've got half an hour. So if it means that I've got half an hour to be with the dog, if they're outside sniffing for 20 minutes on the end of the lead at the end of your path, they're still getting plenty of enrichment, enjoying something that they want to do, and they're using their nose, which is, it's just exhausting for them. That's how they see the world. They don't see the world through eyes like us. They go by nose. They follow the world by their nose. So whereas we get tired looking at things and reading books and everything like that, they get tired sniffing. So rather than saying, oh, look, there's a butterfly, oh, look at that, they're sniffing. So even if you do just get 10 meters from your front door in that half an hour, your dog will still have enjoyed their time outside. They would still would have been outside for 30 minutes. They still would have been sniffing and taking things in. So you have to be strict with yourself. If you want your dog to have a run, go somewhere where you know you don't have to loose lead walk for very long. Hire a secure field so that you can just literally pull up in your car and let the dog out or something like that. So there are options, but the same with any behavior. If you let it continue, even in a minor way, you're not going to fix it. So you have to commit. You have to say, yes, right, we're going to sort this. And the more committed you are, the quicker you will be fixing it. And it's the same for dogs that have been pulling for a long time or anything like that. They just need this new routine. Right. OK, well, we're not doing that. I'm standing still. You let me know when you're bored, and then we're going to go in the other direction. You're going to look at me. You're going to do a couple of hand touches. Maybe you're going to do a sit and a paw. You're going to talk to mummy. You're going to come back into the room, and then we'll continue. But if you continue to yank me, well, I'm going to stop still again. OK, so again, like I mentioned earlier, dogs learn by consequences. If you pull me, I'm going to stand still. I'm not going to pull you back and engage that opposition reflex. I'm not going to yank you and maybe give you a little bit of pain so that they just learn, hang on a minute, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, it's still not going to stop me, because they don't think like that. Their arousal will override it. They'll just be like, no, I've got to smell that thing. They won't know what you're doing. All they know is that they're being restricted from getting to what it is they want to get to. So, oh, thank you, Hazel. No, you're welcome, Holly. No worries, Molly. Right, Milo comes to heel when we stop, but as soon as he has the treat or we start walking, any shoots off and strangles himself by hitting the end of it. Yeah, warp speed. Sounds very similar almost to, who was the other lady? The two-year-old lab that when you put the lead on, she pulls really badly. It's a habit. So he's like, right, okay, I stopped, I go. So what happens is when you stop, you start walking backwards. Okay, so that's what when you do, stop and walk backwards. If he starts pulling forwards again, you're going to go backwards again. Okay. It's just retraining that. I see a Jaffa cake, I eat it. You try and retrain me out of that, it's not going to happen. So it's just working on that. What about a dog that won't move and puts the brakes on and sits down? Okay. So collar or lead for me, Liz, on this. Liz, is it Hera? Is she a shepherd? I can't remember. Let me try and find you on the video, Liz. Liz. Oh, no, you've not got your video on. Oh, there you are. Is she a shepherd? I can't remember. Has she got a collar or a harness? That's it. Yeah, German Shepherd, both. Oh, both. Do you pull her forwards on the harness? And let me unmute you. Hang on. I've sent you a little thing. Can you hear me?
Can I hear you? I'm having a problem getting her out of the house. She doesn't respond to walkies in the way that every other dog I've ever known does.
And she's still quite young, though, isn't she? How old is she?
Yeah, she's 11 and a half weeks. So she's
11 and a half weeks. So it's all still scary. That's the same thing as trying to get me out of a spaceship when I've landed on Mars. I wouldn't be too inclined to just step my toe out. So it is very scary. So just take it at her pace. So don't worry about pulling or anything else on the lead. anything to do with your puppies, you take it at their pace. So load yourself up. Oh, sorry.
I was carrying her to the gate. And once she's beyond the gate, she's absolutely fine.
Oh, okay then. So what I'm going to get you to do is you're going to get some super yummy cookies, some leftover roast dinner, whatever it is she's allowed. Really great stuff. And yep. You're just going to stand by your front door and you're going to drop it out the front door. But you're not going to go out the front door. If Hera wants it, she's going to go out on her own. And just drop it there. And then as she goes out, you can step with her. And then you can drop another little bit further forwards and then another bit. But then after a couple of steps, you're going to go back in. So you're not going to push her all the way to the end of the driveway just to begin with, bit by bit. So that when you come and try again, maybe, I don't know, a couple of hours later, whatever your day suggests, I don't know how you decide you're making a cup of tea, spend that 2 minutes while the kettle's boiling, just throwing some cookies out the front door and seeing if she'll go out again. Okay, but it's got to be really, really good stuff. And you can gradually work your way further and further forwards. For some reason, she's a little bit worried about that threshold. Does she walk perfectly fine on the street once you're past? That's it, yeah. So there's something there that's worried her, whether she's seen something. So it doesn't necessarily, if a dog's been somewhere. Yeah. So, sorry?
She's been in the car to the vet, so I think it's the...
So she might be thinking, yeah, so they generalise. So if, for instance... Okay, so a few months back, I was at a seminar. And it obviously I had to have all this face shielding on because of everything that's going on at the moment. And I had to pick the one desk in the one classroom in the whole world where a spider decided to fall on the student's head, crawl down between my face and the face mask. Now, obviously, aside from screaming and crying in front of a room full of my peers, I was then petrified for the rest of that weekend because we had to stay in the same seat for COVID reasons. So, of course, all I could do for the next couple of days was just make sure it's not around. And I then generalized that whole classroom and everything. So not only when I sat at my desk was I doing this, I was, every time I walked through a door in that building, I was doing this. So I generalized that experience to a whole situation of things. So if there's been something extreme, so if she went out that door, went in the car, went to the vets, she's just going to work backwards, the same as I did pulling up to the car park the next day to go into the classroom. By the time I was in the car park, I was thinking, I wonder if that spider's back. So, you know, it works backwards. So it's a little bit of fear there, but I just do a little bit of positive reinforcement, throw some yummies out there. You know, don't just throw tuna or something all over the place. Otherwise, if she doesn't go out, you'll end up with rats or something gross, or you'll be picking it up. But just encourage her. If need be, just go and sit on the step if it's not wet. Just sit there with a book and a cup of tea and let her step out on her own accord. And you'll find that once she just sort of says, oh, actually, yeah, it's not too bad. There's good stuff out here. I'll go along with mum, actually. Otherwise, she will just continue to wait to be carried.
Ooh.
So would I.
She's fine in the class. It's just we've had a family dog that at certain things like bridges wouldn't ever cross. Now she's a bit big to develop those sorts of phobias. So
yeah, no. So just start working on that now, but at her own pace. A slightly different from the loose lead walking, but no dragging or anything like that. Just at her own pace. Fabulous. Right, I'm going to stick you on mute then. Right, so everybody, hopefully, has anybody got any more questions? No worries, Carla, nice to see you. Has anyone got any more questions? Hopefully I answered most of them to a certain extent in everything. That's kind of what I'm hoping. Hopefully I've made it nice and easy for you to understand where I'm leading to with this one. That you need those foundations, otherwise just you're going to struggle. Does that make sense? Does anybody yet got nods, got thumbs up, got all sorts of things? It's really hard when you're here, rather than teaching in a class or anything like that. I haven't got all these nods going, yeah, it makes sense, Joe. Yeah, thank you, Joe. You're welcome. So if no, I'll let you all get on because this is overrun. I didn't want to keep you all this long. But please do come along to my webinar. Book yourselves in now. I will, hopefully this is going to be recorded and I'll get that uploaded as well. But yeah, if you have any questions, do ask. If you're feeling generous, don't forget to leave me a lovely Trustpilot review. That would be brilliant. So you can just search for me on Trustpilot. I'll let you do that if you really want to. That would be great. And so thank you very much, Bobby. Thank you, Graham. Thanks, Grace. Thanks, Carol. Thanks, Liz. Oh, crikey, it's all moving now. Thanks, Joe. Thank you, Julie. Thanks, Claire. Everybody there, really, really thank you for turning up. And hopefully I will see you in a couple of weeks to give you the full-on crackdown of getting this resolved. So I will see you all soon. You go and have a nice evening. Take care, everyone. Bye. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or want to get in touch, then visit my website, www.pause-itivity.co.uk. There's some additional notes in the show details for you if you wish. Take care, and I'll see you soon.